in the horrendous breakdown of marriages today, this is what the real need is. When two people are brought together as man and wife, there has to be meekness, a humility, a willingness to get along with each other. That's the work of grace that ought to take place in heart. Likewise in churches. I don't suppose churches could even survive a week if there was not, by God's grace, a spirit of humility and meekness brought and exercised in each and every heart. And then there's another reason I would give to you tonight why we ought to look at this beatitude, and that is our testimony before the world.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It's always a joy to bring the message of God's Word. Indeed, there's always an excitement in preaching. Preaching is God's ministry by which He takes the clay vessel, fills it, and puts the message within. We're just messengers. We're the Lord's messengers. And as we handle the Bible, the Word of God, as we seek to study out, explain and expound that word, we are indeed telling forth what God says to men. And in this, there are the words of warning, there are the words of correction, and of course, there is the word of truth to lead us into the way of blessing. In these Beatitudes, the word blessed, by the way, in the Greek is Makarios. You may have heard of a man called Archbishop Makarios in the Greek Orthodox Church. Well, this word blessed is for the blessing of God upon our souls. And in the fifth verse of chapter 5, we read here that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus should give these list of beatitudes and explain and expound that God's kingdom is a work in the heart. It's a work within. It's a work that changes us from the inside out. And that's going to come out in the message that we bring here today. But let's just read these Beatitudes again. Let's try and get a handle on them in our minds as the Lord has spoken them. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then the final one, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake." Well, here you are, the Beatitudes, the blessed, the way to blessing. And we begin here today with, begins with meekness. And the title of this sermon is Meek or Geek? I trust that you will be the one that's brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus.
The meek are those who quietly submit themselves before God to His word, to His rod, who follow His directions and comply with His designs, and are gentle toward men. Now that's how I ought to be as a pastor. And this takes a lot of grace to walk with God, to submit to God's word, God's rod, God's correction, to comply with God's designs, and be gentle with men. That's Christian. That's Christianity. And that's the grace that we need to serve the Lord. I mentioned Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I wanted to read that passage tonight because I read of a Chinese Christian. His name was Su Chu, and he came from a very wealthy Chinese family, and he entered the Inland China Mission. He was working in the hospital, and he offered himself to be trained as a nurse. And coming from a home of wealth, he dressed absolutely immaculately, very clean. And one day, he was asked to perform a very menial job. He was to clean and shine shoes. Well, he felt totally offended, and he refused to do it. He wouldn't do it. And he said, no gentleman or scholar would do such lowly work. Well, the superintendent of the mission invited him into his office. And he said to him, Sue, I've got something to read to you. And he read to him John chapter 13, the passage where the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And how fitting, cleaning shoes versus washing feet. And after he was done reading that account to the Chinese helper, and he prayed, from that day, Su Chu was the most willing worker, scrubbing floors, cleaning windows, any task he was called to do, because he learned something about humble service. And that's Christianity. That's real, biblical, Christ-like Christianity. And it ought to be exhibited by us, that nothing is too low that we might put our hand to in the service of the Lord. Now, I want to go a little deeper than that. I want us tonight to examine our hearts for evidences of meekness. And there's three things I have here. The meek man will be a submissive man. The meek man will possess a willingness to learn. And he will cease to be sensitive about himself. Now, these are three important areas that I think we need to take a little bit of time to look at. I think it's a self-evident what we've learned here, that meekness is the opposite to self-will. It really is to surrender our hearts and lives to God's will and have no ill will toward men. And so the problem really is sinful self. That's the heart of the issue here. How do you become meek? How do you measure meekness? The meekness can be measured by how much of self is to the fore. And the biggest problem to man who would walk humbly with his God is that he must get rid of self. I'm sure you've heard preachers and elders and Christian workers say, I didn't want to get in the way of what God was doing. And that's a very important thing. We must not get in the way of being so pumped up about our own ways and our own ideas that we are going to push it, drive it, no matter what. Now, thinking about this need that the meek man will be the submissive man, think about Abraham when he was dealing with his nephew Lot. Lot, who set his eye on Sodom, and of course he was going, no matter what, he was going to set his eye there. What did Abram do? He said, well, if you go that way, I'll go this way. Abram didn't barter and counter and dig in and say, well, we're going to do this another way. He truly was in that, the meek man. And he got God's portion in doing it. That's why he inherited the blessing. And of course, his herds and cattle and God's blessing with it multiplied. Whereas Lot, well, we know the tragedy of family life and the future for him. Another example is Moses. And in Numbers 12:3, it says, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. That's an amazing statement. The man Moses was very meek above all men on the face of the earth. He stood out for this quality of meekness. How did it affect his life? Well, he prayed for his sister Miriam when she became cancerous, even though she was a pretty tough sister to get along with. He prayed for her, that God would have mercy on her. And when the nation of Israel that he was leading were murmuring and complaining and bickering, and God said, I will destroy this nation and create another people, Moses interceded with God. And he said, Lord, you can't do that. The heathen will say that you brought them out into this wilderness to destroy them. You can't do that. He interceded for them. And even though many people said nasty and the worst of things about Moses, he, in turn, being a meek man, prayed for those very people that were offending him. And of course, the Lord Jesus is a great example. He says, come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, and my way is easy. Easy. The Lord didn't seek to burden people, but rather that he would give them an amazing blessing. So the meek man, what's the first thing we're learning here? I'm just going to revisit this till we make it very clear. The three things we're looking at. Number one, the meek man will be the submissive man. Secondly, he will be the man who has a spirit to learn, teachable, the teachable spirit. And how wonderful it is with children when they're zealous to learn and they want to listen and take in what you're teaching them. Well, God's people, God's children, should have that very same teachable spirit. And that's why God says, to this man will I look, he that trembleth at my word. One of the greatest difficulties today in Christian gospel and church work is that people have deaf ears to hear God's word, and they need to be moved and drawn to listen and hear the very voice of God in his word. A teachable spirit. Now again, we could go through this Sermon on the Mount and get to that chapter 7 where the Lord really lays it on in the application. He says, it's not him that hears my word, but doeth it. That's the one that's really taught. Didn't just hear with their ears, but it moved them to obey. Teachable. A teachable spirit is not just listening, it's taking it on board and seeking to do the will of God. And the Lord said to, this is the wise man. The wise man who builds upon the rock. The wise man who will stand in the storm. And so think about it. If you are the meek person, born of the Spirit, indwelt by the grace of God, and you've got this spirit of meekness, you will hear his word and do it. And you will build your life, therefore, on the rock, not on the sand. This is great wisdom for us. And we ought to major on this more and more. Now, the third thing in this is the meek man will be no longer, at least less and less, sensitive about himself. And I want to give you a quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a medical doctor, a very brilliant medical doctor, before he took up preaching and teaching God's word. And he said this, that the greatest evil or effect of sin upon human nature is that he becomes sensitive. Sensitive. Have you ever met what we would call an oversensitive? We're all sensitive. But have you ever tried to deal with an oversensitive person? They become impossible to work with. No matter what you say, no matter how you look, no matter how you glance at the person, they read it with hypersensitivity. And when you try to guide them and lead them in a certain way, well, why do you want me to do this? There's always this reluctance. It translates into an obstinate spirit. And they feel downtrodden and ill done by and so on. Now, there are many people, and I think there was Martin Lloyd-Jones that pointed this out as well, who are very happy to confess that you're a sinner. They're very happy to say, I'm a sinner. But if anyone else tries to say it, oh, what's wrong with me? Become all defensive. Now, the meek person is really the person who's emptied of self. And they freely confess, I am nothing. I am nobody. I'm only what I am by the grace of God. And when you say I'm a sinner, you're right. And when you say I'm a failure, you're right. And when you say I have no real gifts, you're right. I have nothing of my own. I am what I am by the grace of God. And of course, the person that's down has no need to worry about falling. He's already down. And if you, by the power of the cross, have come as an empty sinner to the Lord Jesus with empty hands and saying, to thy cross I cling. That's all that you have, faith in the cross. And you come in your emptiness to the Lord. And you come in your need of salvation and cleansing from sin. Oh, this works meekness. And you look at your life in light of the cross and in light of Calvary, the Savior that needed to suffer and die in your place because you were so needy. And what a change of mind it brings about. And what a new attitude it is. And when you come to the prayer meeting, you're not afraid to say, Lord, I'm only a sinner. But I thank you that my Savior shed his blood for me. And you go from the emptiness of self to the fullness that's in Christ. But the person that won't acknowledge their emptiness, how do they ever get to the fullness? The person who doesn't recognize that they're nobody, how are they going to enjoy the everything that we have through the power of the gospel that was purchased by the blood of Jesus? And that becomes the need. The meek person, therefore, will not be oversensitive. The meek person gets over hurts. The meek person gets over men's ill statements and ill treatment. We don't go around harboring a grudge all our lives. We don't walk around with a chip on our shoulder and ready to launch out in the person. How dare you say that about me? Now, this gets to the heart of issues. If you are walking in the corridors of high schools and colleges and universities, this is the problems that arise. And it comes into homes and it comes into families. And you've got people who are so sensitive about self that you can hardly look at them at all or try to correct them. But the work of the gospel, it empties us. It brings us to the point where we are truly teachable. And we are getting over that sensitivity. I would say Moses, again, is a great example, who after all those 40 years, he got over every hurt. Isn't that wonderful? Got over every hurt. And there are Christians today, and they say, I don't want to be church life, a part of church life. I don't want to be involved in church life because I've got hurt. Well, it's just rendered them useless to the kingdom of God. The devil's got the victory and getting the advantage because they're withdrawing themselves from the very arena of service for Christ. And it's all really a sensitivity, a pride, an unwillingness to lay themselves on the altar of service. And so this need for meekness is indeed very great. So we have to examine our hearts. And the Lord would say to us, by their fruits ye shall know them. What is the fruit in your life tonight? Are you known as a meek person, a humble person? Oh, you don't have to worry about offending him. He'll take it all right. He's strong enough. He's got grace enough to do that. Or is it that no one wants to even approach you on the matter or any matter because they're not sure what way you'll bounce? And everybody around you is walking on eggs. Because you don't have the spirit of meekness, and therefore you don't have friendships and fellowship that God would have you enjoy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Can you see how pride is a robber of all the blessings? Pride takes away the benefits that the Lord would give to his people. Now, I'm going to close in a few moments, and I want to say just a few reasons why the meek are blessed. Well, of course, they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And I'm going to go back now to that great text in Isaiah 57:15. I am the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, but I dwell with him that is humble and of a contrite spirit. This is the inheritance we have now. Living in the Spirit, having the indwelling of the Spirit of God within our hearts. Now, can you really pray? Can you ask for revival in your life and in your service for God if you do not walk humbly with God. There's a reason. Also, the meek are always satisfied. Well, at least to a great degree in this world, we're satisfied. I don't think any Christian's ever 100% satisfied this side of heaven. There's always tears. There's always disappointments. There's always failure and shortcoming to trouble us. But nevertheless, we've got this peace that reigns because the gospel has changed us. And we are now living in the very happiness of the Lord. And I dare say that there are happier Christians in a little cottage than you will find in the rich man's palace, because the gospel has changed his heart and changed his life. And he takes the undeserving attitude. I deserve nothing. And therefore those things that he does give or receive are great blessings, and enjoys them to the full. The meek are always also heirs of grace, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And that's true now, right now. And that's why we are inheriting the earth. Now, some might say, well, will that happen in the millennium? That 1,000-year time when in between Christ's first coming and second coming? Will that happen then that we'll inherit the earth? I don't see that here. And I have something far better. We inherit it today, tomorrow, this week. I will know this benefit and this blessing with all my dealings with God and men by the spirit of meekness. Isn't it an amazing thing that in the world today, humility is still praised? You read these Hollywood stars, and we don't commend their lifestyles for a moment. But you'll remember some of the remarks that are made about them, whether they've had some award or maybe they have died and there's some eulogy about them. You know, they will bring up things like, a very humble person, achieved so much but very humble. And they will speak in that way. Or maybe it's someone at work, and selfless, self-denying, easy to get along with. These are the qualities that men look for. And I say that we got to excel in that as Christians. We've got to demonstrate that through the gospel. We've got one who lives in us, that we might live in his power to live for the Lord. And it's not the will of God that we as Christians go into monasteries or some cloister and hide away from the world. No, we're to let our light shine. This is how we become light in the world, salt before the world, by living in that spirit of humility. Now, it's been pointed out that these Beatitudes, as you go down them, become more and more demanding. Poor in spirit, mourning, and then meek, and then hungering and thirsting for righteousness. There seems to be an increasing demand in every one of these Beatitudes. Did you know that when you became a Christian that there were demands made of you? But you say, but I've got a gift. Salvation's a gift. Of course it's a gift. It was all purchased at the cross. But you're called to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, to lay down your life that you might glorify him. And it's not our task to run after happiness. That's a very important thing to learn. When people start to run after happiness as their priority pursuit, they end up miserable and wretched. When we glorify God, then we enjoy him. And our shorter catechism question one answer says we will enjoy him forever. And it doesn't get better than that. We will enjoy him forever. Now, as pastor here tonight, surely my one desire for you is that you will enjoy the Lord this week. That has to be my desire. What kind of a preacher, pastor would I be if I would preach to you tonight and wish anything else than that you would enjoy the Lord? Well, here's the way to enjoy him. Here's the thing you must pray for and present in your home, in your marriage, in your neighborhood, in your family life, in your workplace, and in the life of the church. Meekness, humility. And it's a work of the gospel. It really is an outworking of the spirit of repentance. And if you say that you've repented of the world, it will change you from the inside out and make you blessed indeed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you have been encouraged and helped today through the message on this beatitude, blessed are the meek. Well, what a promise and what a blessing it is to have our hearts renewed and changed. This is the power of the gospel, to turn us from our pride and arrogance to meekness. And in the Bible, of course, meekness is not weak. Some of the greatest leaders in church history have been men who have been meek. Moses stands out because he was the meekest man in all the earth, and yet he led God's people for 40 years as God's messenger and prophet to them. And every religious, spiritual leader needs this meekness. If you're going to be a man or woman of God who will lead people into spiritual things, well, you're going to need this gift, this spirit of meekness. Now, remember, there are three things that we covered here today, and the marks of the meek person. Number one is submissive. And this is really the power of the gospel, to turn us from our wild, rebellious ways to be sitting at Jesus' feet, learning of him, with a hunger to know and a desire to obey. This is the submissive power of the gospel. Then we become teachable. And every newborn Christian loves the Word of God and will walk in the light of that Word. Like the psalmist in Psalm 1, how I delight in the law of God, I delight after it in the inward man. It is the power of that Word which enables him to accept God's truth and rejoice in it. That is the power of the gospel. Another area that we looked at, and that is that sin makes men sensitive, but grace enables us to accept and to rejoice, even when we're told that we need to correct ourselves. We are teachable in every sense of the word. Well, thank you for joining with us. If I can be of any personal help, be in touch. Stay tuned now for these announcements.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.